Hello, listener. I'm the Doctor. Welcome to this week's edition of People of St. Luke's. If you're one of the potentially dozens of people who listen to this thing, you'll know it's a podcast in which members of the university community present an insight into the diverse experiences and backgrounds that make up the tapestry of a modern institute of learning through a day of lived experience. Ugh. This isn't how I usually spend my time, obviously. I'm not a podcaster, or a vlogger, or an online style influencer, or a wax cylinder enthusiast, or what have you. But I was asked by Petra in the AV Club if I'd present an episode. Have you met Petra? She's in the AV Club, so probably not. Anyway, she asked, I said no, and here we are. There's a list for presenters, by the way. A list of rules. You can hear it, this is it. Oh, that's rock and roll, isn't it? Nothing more counterculture than a list. I meant to tell you about a day in my life at St. Luke's. There are an awful lot of days here. They pile up, one after the other. An interesting change for me. Normally I just pick the good ones, throw the others back. This lucky dip approach to time. Bold. Bold, you lot. So I've chosen a day. And it says here on the almighty piece of paper that I need a title. Because no one can pay attention to anything unless you dress it up like a book for children. That's not on the list. That's me saying that. So I've picked a title. This episode is called The Monster at the End of This Podcast, in tribute to the only children's picture book that became a major religion. Although that's still a decade away. So, The Monster at the End of This Podcast. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. I was doing a bit of spring cleaning in the TARDIS. Dusting the time and space visualizer, alphabetizing the jelly babies, that sort of thing. Well, I found a box of cassettes. Audio cassettes, the sort you used to see strung around country lanes for no apparent reason. I used to have a tape deck, but I couldn't find it. I think Ace might have blown it up at some point. Or the Cybermen did. Not fans of jazz, Cybermen. Anyway, something happened to it, and I was curious about these tapes. Nostalgia is a dangerous thing for a Time Lord. We have so much past. You can easily get lost and never come out. So I went to the AV Club, which is where I met Petra. The AV Club was in the basement of one of those depressing concrete buildings they usually stack engineering students in. It was cool and damp, full of old computers, components. Actually, it was a lot like my workshop at UNIT, but back then everyone thought these things were impressive. Now they were worthless. History blinks, and gold turns back to straw. Hello? I asked, in case someone's trying to surprise me. Hate it when anyone surprises me before I surprise them. They just think I'm copying them. Even when all they say is boo, and I prevent them from being crushed by a Napoleonic space kitten. True story. Over here! I look around the room, and I can't see anyone. I'm certain we don't have invisible students. I'm fairly certain. Do we? I'm not always paying attention, to be honest. Who is it? I really can't do the accent, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm the Doctor, I said.
Which Doctor?
Said the voice.
A witch doctor,
I responded. Look, this would be easier if I knew where you were.
A tuft of red hair appeared from behind a reel-to-reel player on a table.
Moving around the player, I could see below the tuft there was more hair. Some eyes, too, probably. A nose and a mouth. In that order. And not remotely invisible. Just short. The hair was trying its best to make up for it.
Oh, the Doctor! The red-haired, short, visible thing said. I'm Petra. I've come to some of your lectures. The one on metaphysical privilege was unexpected.
People are always surprised by the scone recipes in that lecture. I honestly don't know how you could explain it without them.
Petra told me she was studying quantum physics. They teach that in universities here. It's adorable. I need some help with this, I said, holding up the cassette. Petra was happy to help, but finding a player was harder than expected. She went hunting through the plastic bins and steel shelves, corridors of undesirable electronics.
I produce a podcast for the university, said Petra,
her shock of red hair moving Muppet-like above the metal shelving.
Would you be interested in doing one?
Absolutely not, I said.
Where are you from? That's not a Bristol accent. Port Talbot. I wanted to travel, so I'm studying at St. Luke's.
I licked a finger and held it in the air.
That's what, 70 miles?
Not exactly Shackleton.
Didn't he die?
Asked Petra. Only at the end, I said.
Aha!
Petra slams a hot pink double-tape deck on the scarred wooden table. It looks somehow embarrassed, surrounded by the brushed steel and graphite casings of its descendants, like the only person who came in fancy dress. There's something terribly lonely about old technology. The gap between cutting edge and laughably obsolete gets shorter all the time. Petra slipped the tape into the player, and after a few weary clunks, I'm surprised to hear my voice burst from the speakers. People say your voice sounds different when you hear it on tape. But in this case, my face sounded different too. It was notes I'd made during an experiment at UNIT so long ago, when I was desperately trying to fix the TARDIS and leave Earth. Ironic, now I had a working TARDIS and no plans to leave.
You've got print through, said Petra. That's not something you hear anymore.
Now, I'm usually the one doing the incomprehensible jargon, so this was excitingly new. Petra explained. Imagine you have a length of audio tape, flat magnetic tape. You roll it onto a spool so it's not just flopping about all over the place. This means that each part of the tape is now in contact with two other parts of itself. Each part of your spiral is touching on the tape above it and the tape below it. If the tape is regularly played, this isn't a problem. But if it's left to sit for a while, the magnetic patterns can copy themselves over to the places they're in contact. So you might get an echo.
So you might get an echo. So you might.
As the pattern replicates itself.
As the pattern replicates itself.
As the pattern replicates. To the touching layer.
To the touching layer. To the touching layer.
Or the echo might come first.
Or the echo might come first. Like two parallel worlds bleeding into each other. A quiet invasion. But this tape wasn't quite like that. While there was an echo.
An echo.
It wasn't always the same.
The same.
But occasionally slightly different.
Just a bit different.
That's weird, said Petra. I don't get it. Is this a joke of some kind?
A joke? I tried to remember what the shapes of people's faces mean. And I realize Petra thinks that I've mocked this tape up to make fun of her. Which I suppose is one explanation. But the idea that staff members have taken to faking C-90s to make fun of AV enthusiasts they've never met strikes me as unusually cumbersome. Why do humans always jump to the strangest conclusions? I tell Petra the much simpler explanation. I think there's something living in the magnetic field of the tape. Something trapped. Something that wants to get out.
Looking for kitchen appliances? Get your fill at Spatulas of Commerce, St. Luke's kitchenware monger of choice for more than 7 years. 36 Henthorn Drive, near the Mackenzie Library Annex, a proud sponsor of People of St. Luke's.
Sorry, the paper said I had to do that. Where were we? Oh, yes. I'm waiting for Petra to say something. Traditionally, there's a dance at this point. I have to convince someone I'm not mad or wave psychic paper at them if I can't be bothered. Depends on how I'm feeling. But Petra's thinking and doesn't say anything. I assume she needs more information.
You're probably wondering why I might have a cassette with alien life in it. But I have a time and space machine with a bit of a history of these sorts of things, if you'll excuse the pun. History? No, tough crowd. You're not really meant to live in my type of time machine, if I'm honest. They're designed for short-term observation. More a caravan than a home. So odd things happen when you're in one for a long time. Melting clocks, vortisaurs in the corridors, young women giving birth to middle-aged archaeologists, that sort of thing. And I think something has got trapped in this cassette.
What do you think? It's a bit bonkers, said Petra. But I know the things they say about you. Like you've been here for decades for a start.
Now that was a surprise. Students usually don't notice. They're too busy with their skiffle bands and EastEnders.
And that the library once turned invisible for 3 days.
Now that wasn't my fault entirely.
So where's your time machine?
She asked.
Oh, briefly off campus.
I let Nardole have a holiday. He's off for a jaunt to Eurovision. 1974, big fan of ABBA. Petra stared at me. She was either about to call campus security or take a step into the unknown.
She leaned towards the pink tape player again, listening intently to the sound beneath the sound. The younger me banged on about the Blinovich limitation effect and reversing the polarity.
But she was listening to the noise in the background.
To the noises in the background.
To the noises in the background. To the sound that shouldn't be there.
To the sound that should not be there.
Okay,
Petra said.
Let's say there's something trapped in this cassette. What's it trying to tell us?
I don't think it's saying anything specific. I think it's being buffeted by the magnetic fields and the words are flowing around it. Reality changing as it ripples. The words themselves aren't important. And I don't think there's anything physically inside the tape any more than Muffin the Mule is inside your television. But I think the distortion within the sound on the tape is allowing us to detect the presence of something.
So what do we do with it?
Asked Petra.
Do with it? We set it free, it's trapped.
The question is, how do you open a door for a transdimensional cassette being? That's not a catchy name. We should think of a better one.
Hang on, said Petra.
Surely, the first question is, should you open a door for a transdimensional cassette being?
How do you know this isn't an invasion of some kind?
It would be a cumbersome way to invade. In my experience, invasions usually start with spaceships and guns. In retrospect, of course, she was right. A while back, I was worried I wasn't a good man. And someone told me the goal was probably in the trying, not the being. But sometimes, a really good man would step back, look at the bigger picture. There's a saying on this planet about choosing your battles. And another about fools rushing in and beggars riding horses and milking cows for free. There's too many sayings, probably. This saying could do with a bit of a saying's cull, if we're honest. But I wasn't thinking of any of that. I was thinking what it was like to be trapped. To be alone. To be hitting the wall over and over, desperately wanting to get out. And I let my thoughts of freedom overcome me.
Look, not every idea is a good one. It's our duty to help whatever it is out of there.
We can't just leave it, I said.
Our duty?
Asked Petra dubiously.
Our ethical duty under the AV Club Code or something.
So, something was in the cassette. Obviously, if there's a way in, there's a way out. Ways out have always been my thing. Sometimes you can talk your way out with subtlety and intellect. Sometimes you can find an exit by chance. And sometimes you can just force things open with a crowbar. I decided on the latter.
It was trapped in sound.
So sound was what we had to break. I needed as many potential gateways as possible. So I grabbed the first thing I could find. A discontinued brand of MP3 player. And copied the tape onto that and set it playing. Then I took a beautiful 1975 Diatone reel-to-reel recorder and did the same thing.
Gorgeous. VHS, mini disc, a 4-track tape system in wood veneer found under a desk, a graveyard of forgotten media.
Used all of them to repeat the original signal.
A symphony of noise, playing on every format. Somewhere in this wall of sound,
There must be a gap. In one of these formats, one of these devices, there must be a space our friend could use to escape. And suddenly, there was. And it was revealed. So beautiful. So indescribably beautiful. But you know that. Not quite a shape. More an idea. An idea of light and sound. Ever changing yet somehow perfect. Hovering right in front of us. Impossible to fully comprehend. Like our minds weren't capable of so much grace. Impossible, but close enough to touch. Like Brian Eno scoring a magic eye picture. Petra and I stood in awe, aware that something this glorious should never be in our universe, let alone a breeze-blocked basement of Building D. The walls around us started to shimmer, reflecting light as though they were made of oil, blurring in front of us. And that's when it all went horribly, horribly wrong. The creature vanished through the wall, and the whole room started to distort, fracturing into a double exposure of itself. "What's happening?" shouted Petra. I had no idea, so we ran up the stairs and out into the quadrangle. The creature was rising into the sky, casting a sickly pale blue light on St. Luke's. Around it, everything was doubling and then tripling, like a 3D film without the glasses. But each image was different. It was sunny, and it was raining. It was noon, and it was midnight. Potential existences superimposed on each other. The creature was increasing in size, spilling across the sky. And then I realized, it wasn't trapped! I shouted. I had been such a pudding brain. Before, it wasn't trapped. It was in its natural habitat, living in the spaces between dimensions. And my guilt had set it free, and now it was eating through reality, like sulfuric acid in a china shop. Do they still have china shops? We needed to send it back, before it destroyed everything. Looking for meat on a stick? Look for Debbie's Kebab Chalet, meeting St. Luke's needs for over 14 years. That's meeting spelt with an A. Proud sponsor of People of St. Luke's. Now gluten-free. I don't know about you, but it really ruins the flow, doesn't it? I think we've had quite enough of you. Where were we? Ah, yes. The creature was now filling the entire sky. And as barriers between dimensions broke down, we could see through further realities. A St. Luke's in which the clock tower was never built. Another in which it stood vigil over a dead world. "What's happening?" asked Petra. "It's trying to find a way back to its home. To the spaces between dimensions. But to do that..."
"It's tearing through the dimensions themselves," she asked. "How do you put it back in the cassette? Is that possible?"
"It doesn't live in the cassette," I explained. "The cassette was simply a window, allowing us to see it, and I threw a brick through the window and let it out."
"No wonder it's angry," said Petra.
"I don't think it's angry. I think it just is. Maybe we can capture it in another media, steal its soul in a photo." Petra pointed out there was a whole quadrangle of students filming it with mobile phones, with no visible effect.
"But that's because digital is too porous. The space between pixels like trying to catch a mosquito with a butterfly net. Back to the AV club!"
"It's been my experience that the end of the world involves an awful lot of running. A lot of cardio in an apocalypse. We ran back down the stairs to the AV club. The concrete breeze blocks shuddering and flickering around us. I rummaged through the metal shelves, trying to find something that could possibly help. 60 years of technology, and not a drop to drink."
"What are you looking for?"
asked Petra.
"Something more blunt, more lo-fi. Aha!"
I grabbed a Polaroid instant camera and we ran back outside. Come on! I shouted.
The creature is now blindly reaching out. Tendrils made of rays of light, trying to touch this inconstant world it could not understand. It glanced the clock tower and we were showered with bricks, falling from a world where the university was destroyed in a war that never happened. I pushed Petra to the ground, shielding her as masonry fell around us. The ground started to crack, unstable, unable to be ground or sea, or lava or sand. Another tendril came shooting straight towards us as I lifted the camera and took a picture. The creature was gone. On the grass next to us, a Polaroid picture. A square of shimmering, amorphous light. An image that would never fully develop. But the dimensions were still in flux. The world was still ending.
I don't understand, I said. The gate is still open. I thought with the creature gone.
But the creature never opened the gate, said Petra. We did.
The AV Club.
Back in the AV Club, the devices were still echoing the original cassette.
But something had changed.
As well as my ongoing ramble about dematerialization circuits and the correct way to make tea, one phrase was now echoing repeatedly for reasons I couldn't understand.
If I reverse the polarity,
the old younger me said.
If I reverse the polarity.
Petra pressed stop on the tape player, and one layer of my voice stopped, but the others continued. We ran around the room, switching each device off, but while the voices would get quieter, they would not stop. We ripped power cords from sockets, but my echoing voice continued, the words keeping the dimensions ajar.
Pass me that microphone stand,
shouted Petra. I handed her the heavy steel stand, and she brought it down hard on the reel-to-reel player. But even as it smashed into pieces, my voice continued. And then I realized, again, it's echoing back from the other dimensions. This must have been the section of the tape that was playing when the creature started tearing things apart. It's bouncing back from all the worlds we've opened. We're not hearing the original tape anymore, but an infinite number of copies of that tape.
Hello, said Petra. Can you see me?
Which seemed an odd thing to say, since I was standing right next to her.
Hello?
She called again. At this point, I was looking straight at Petra. I was hearing her voice, but couldn't help noticing that her lips weren't moving. I think we both knew this would be a highly inappropriate time to practice her ventriloquist act. So we slowly turned to see a literal tear in reality. Like the air had been shredded by a giant cat through it. We could see another Petra, in another basement, in another St. Luke's.
I'm Professor Elliot, she said. Can you see?
And suddenly, she recognized the face looking back at her.
Is that me?
There isn't time, I said.
I was assuming there was a breakdown in the barriers between dimensions,
the other Petra said.
Bit of a shock to see I was right.
Oh, that quantum physics degree coming in handy then. My Petra piped up with,
we think there's a feedback loop, keeping the dimensional instability open. We need to stop the sound. Do you have the doctor with you in your dimension?
I find that one of me is usually enough, to be honest. And Professor Petra just looked confused.
Which doctor? I don't understand what's happening. The doctor!
Shouted original flavor Petra.
The weird one, who's been teaching here for decades. The one everyone whispers about. Who looks like him.
Oh, it doesn't look like me, I added. Also possible.
I don't know who you're talking about,
Professor Petra said. I'm not always there, I told my Petra. I travel a lot. Other dimensions. There's a weird history of me not being there.
Hang on,
said Petra.
You've done this before.
No, I'm just saying that I've been to a few alternate worlds and...
And what happened?
demanded Petra.
That's not relevant here. What happened?
She repeated.
I did what I could,
I said. But I didn't always.
Then what good are you?
Shouted Petra, and to be honest, she did have a point.
I can fix this,
I said.
We've managed to get the creature back to somewhere. Now all we need to do is close the rift by stopping the extra-dimensional feedback. And how do we do that?
Asked the Petras in stereo, which is a good name for a band.
We reverse the... Ah, it's an AV problem,
I realized. We need to cancel out the sound.
I spotted an old compact computer. The screen showing a rudimentary sound editing program. We need a microphone. Petra fetched a battered mic and a plastic box full of random connectors. I keep meaning to sort them, said Petra apologetically.
Oh, I know that feeling, I answered. It's always on the list.
But you never get round to it,
added Petra.
End of the world!
Shouted Professor Petra from a disintegrating universe.
Sorry.
I recorded the sound of the echoing tape onto the computer, then inverted the phase of the sound and played it back. Petra would give you a much better explanation of how this works, but if you've ever seen what an audio waveform looks like, it looks like a landscape made of mountains and valleys. Think of that Joy Division t-shirt your dad has. If you invert the phase of the recording, it sounds exactly the same, but the waveform looks flipped. That t-shirt now has valleys where there were mountains, and vice versa. Which means if you wore both t-shirts at the same time, they would cancel each other out,
and your dad's t-shirts would both vanish. Which could be awkward depending on the occasion.
Basically, I'm very clever. I recorded that phrase we keep hearing and reversed the phase. So now, if I play it back... Like you're turning the world into a pair of noise-cancelling headphones?
Asked Petra.
Yes!
And with that, I unleashed the sound, and it very nearly worked.
Why isn't it working?
Said Petra.
There's two possible reasons,
shouted Professor Petra from the dimension next door.
First, you're using a digital solution for an analog problem. A cassette player is a mechanical object. It isn't a constant speed. There's engines, sprockets, the moving parts all have degrees of wear. It slips faster and slower imperceptibly to us. So, the digital copy can never exactly copy the speed of the original,
said my Petra.
But we're hearing an exact copy,
I said. We switched off the original tape, and now we're just playing back the one copy of that.
That's the second thing. You might have an exact copy of one of the echoes, but not all of them. They're coming back from different universes. Travelling through each of those universes and back must have had some effect on the sound. Like the print-through we heard before, moving around the creature. It's the observer effect in action,
said Petra.
Of course, said Professor Petra. It's the Wiseman experiment all over again. It is the Wiseman experiment,
agreed Petra.
Can everyone please stop saying Wiseman experiment?
I added.
I'm trying to save the world. Your basic idea was sound,
said Professor Petra.
Just too simple. Or not simple enough,
asked my Petra.
I've got one more idea, a blunt force one. You said the cassette was a window, but what if it was a key? Could we lock the door by throwing away the key?
Petra grabbed the pink tape player and held it in her hands, determining its weight.
No, we have no idea if that will work, I said. There's no time for anything else, Doctor. You've broken the universe, and as head of St. Luke's AV Club, I'm taking a dim view of that.
She started to move towards the shredded space, hanging in midair. Towards her other self.
Petra, no! Don't get too close! Professor Petra, catch! She threw the tape player towards the tear in space. Its hot pink casing, now a spacecraft, heading to another world. On the other side of the tear, in another here,
The professor caught the dimensional traveler.
It's journey done. All at once, the sound stopped.
My Petra gave a whoop of joy.
The original source is no longer being observed in the original universe, she said.
Professor Petra looked exhilarated, thrilled at her other self.
So what you're saying is...
And then the tear in reality exploded outward, like a gas stovetop blowing out. There was a bulge in the universe. The shreds of that other world briefly flying towards us. And Petra was just a bit too close.
Doctor!
The air suddenly thickened. With a mighty thump, I was alone in the room, and everything had returned to normal. Well, almost everything. Only now, the world is missing a person. A young woman is gone, and it's my fault. And here we are, at the end of the podcast. I don't know if there really are heroes. I'm not even sure there are villains. I think people just try their best in the circumstances. Muddling through. Most try to be good. Even the Cybermen thought they were doing the best for their people at the beginning. I've saved a few planets in my time, but I'm also aware there's damage. There are times I'm just cleaning up the mess I made. I brought the Mandragora Helix to Italy. I brought the family of blood to England. Maybe it's been good to stay still for a while. Keep quiet. To stop poking the universe with a stick. I need to be a better man. First, do no harm. I'm not going to upload this episode of People of St. Luke's, Petra. I think we both know that. But what I am going to do is tape it onto a cassette and store it on the TARDIS. The piece of dead media tumbling through time and space. My own message in a bottle. And I hope that somewhere you'll be able to hear it. And to hear this message. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
You've been listening to Doctor Who Short Trips, Dead Media, by John Richards. Read by Jacob Dudman. It was a Big Finish production.